Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I thought I was. Go ahead, you can be this time.
No, really, I am Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez, and we got a full show.
That's right.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Busy week this week.
Busy week, and one very important topic that didn't make it in time for our last week's show, which is...
Jump right into it.
Silverlight 5 is now available for downloads.
Right.
RTM. It's finally here.
Yeah, so we didn't get to talk about it last time people were asking. I think it literally happened right before we were doing. But you can watch some videos on in terms of features. And people have been playing with RC for a while, so there isn't necessarily a lot of new stuff. And I think this goes back to all the way to the Silverlight Firestarter that Scott Guthrie had done maybe, almost a year ago.
Yeah.
If not longer.
Yeah, I think February or something, yeah.
Yeah, which was the first time we talked about some of these features. So, you know, hardware decode of H.264, GPU. You know, the new trusted support model where you basically get a lot more access to the lower level things, PNVO, COM, and so on.
Yep.
So, definitely a lot of stuff there.
Yep.
And, of which, they've also updated the Silverlight Toolkit. So, the Silverlight Toolkit being the December 2011 release for Silverlight 5, and then also you saw on there is a picture of MEVM Lite, which we've talked about several times. Our good friend, friend of the show, Laurent Bougnon, which I always get his name wrong, but I like saying it that way, is the MEVM Lite Toolkit, which now works on the RTM version of Silverlight 5.
Cool. Yeah, it's great. Congratulations to that team.
Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff to play with.
Yeah, for sure.
Which brings us to all the other announcements. And, you know, we did a live event last weekend, but Windows Azure and SQL Azure have had a number of different updates. So, one, the toolkits are now going to be hosted on GitHub, and some people were just excited about that. But they've actually gone through and simplified, gone through end-to-end experience of signing up for Windows Azure and made it a much more simple process. So even though you do need your credit card to sign up, now you'll never get charged. You'll never have overages. You know,
you can set
in
limits.
Your free trial.
You can say, don't exceed this particular limit.
The
right?
free trial will never, when you're in free trial mode, it won't exceed. You won't all of a sudden get massive charges on your credit card. So a lot of people like that. And, you know, the other thing that should be called out is for MSGN subscribers that people didn't know, I think it's the equivalent of, you know, two machines at all time or, you know, whatever the compute hours is basically a compute hour for the whole month that you get as part of your MSGN subscription. So go watch, which brings us to our next story, the Scott Guthrie video, the very first keynote. He talks about all the details in terms of Windows Azure and the new stuff. So there's a number of breakout sessions where they did the big announcements in terms of, we just talked about the new features in terms of Azure itself, but also the new platforms they're supporting. So the ability to do applications using Node.js. And Wen Ming, our friend, was actually showing off using... a Hadoop on Azure, and some nice friendly ways that they've enabled JavaScript scripting across really large data sets with Hadoop.
Nice.
You can also watch Dave Campbell, who gave an excellent session on big data and what he calls big data and things that you need to do and finding out what you need in terms of, you know, a lot of times you're worried about concurrency where it's like something transactional, maybe like Amazon, where you're very worried about that level of fidelity, and he's like, I wrote the distributed transaction coordinator for SQL 7. I wrote it, you know, I'm super experienced with this stuff and other versions of SQL, and then I understand NoSQL and then the differences between there in terms of what you're looking to do. So the ability to do sharding in SQL Azure, for example.
It just sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Sharding?
Yeah.
I sharded my database? Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm just going to keep moving on. But a lot of great content.
Yeah.
So kudos to all the presenters there. All the content's available online now as well on Channel 9.
Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed to say how many people were streaming, but there were a lot of people that were online live concurrently during the event.
Twitter trending topic.
Yeah.
You know, given how little time that we have from announced to event, that was great.
All those 14-year-olds are like, Justin Bieber, what is Windows Azure?
Windows Azure.
So.
Actually, people were wondering whether it was a new release of Windows.
Oh, really?
One person who thought it was, I thought Windows 8 was coming. Now you do Windows Azure?
Yeah.
You suck, Microsoft.
Nice. It's a good trend.
Yes. Greg Duncan, friend of the show.
Yeah, so this is is he a friend of the show or is he just part of the show now?
He is. But I just wanted to say, you know, he's getting his own gig.
Yeah, so he's going to be working with Martin Woodward, who's another friend of the show,
yes,
on Radio TFS. So congratulations to Greg. He's been a longtime supporter of TFS and ALM and everything else. So I think he's going to be a really good addition to the show. And they got a brand new website that I guess Martin built using Web Matrix.
Nice.
Very cool.
This is awesome, and we love Greg, and he's such great help in terms of everything, you know, from the Connect Gallery to finding awesome stuff for Coding for Fun to, of course, this week on Channel 9. So, mm-hmm.
Yep. Love Congratulations, Greg.
Thanks.
Cool.
Which brings us to CSS Cop. So CSS Cop, people probably familiar for FX Cop. It's FX Cop for style sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is it uses a lot of the rules that are available in CSS Lint and basically checks and does all the things that you need to worry about for different vendor properties and making everything works across different browsers.
What do you mean by different versions? What is a vendor property?
A vendor-specific property like, oh, I'm using IE9's way to handle margins where I can set...
Browser vendors. Yeah. Not tools vendors or anything like that.
Browser vendors. But, you know, you need to understand, like, if something will only work on this browser mm-hmm. or on this particular version of this browser, you want to be able to know that. You want to basically be able to do as lean and mean CSS as you can. And sometimes it's very hard because, you know, it works on my machine or it works in one layout. You add something else, and it actually changes the layout, and you're hosed.
And so this integrates with Visual Studio.
Yeah, so you actually see the warnings, everything.
Got it. Awesome.
So, yeah, I love it.
.peak. Does this have anything to do with Brian Peak?
No, not a reference to Brian Peak. .peak is peak inside, maybe. Like, you know, it's a scope inside. But the idea is, you know, we talked about Reflector and tools like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an early build of a tool that allows that disassembly.
Hmm.
So you can
disassembly of .NET codes.
Yes, okay. Decompiler, assembly browser. So it's you know, better than ILDASM. You can look at code and all that good stuff. So yeah. So I think a lot of people would dig this.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before a number of times in terms of, you know, ReSharper support and other folks that are looking to do tools like this.
You keep saying a number of times. That phrase is so ambiguous. Like, a number could be zero, or it could be 1,000. You ever thought about that?
Yeah, when I get my new co-host, he's not gonna say, "What? You know, a number of times could be a number of times, man." Really?
Yes, when is that new co-host coming, Dan?
Not
any day now,
because
I got things to do. Free, 5, professional, none of this amateur stuff, WPF themes. So these are beautiful themes that you can download and use.
How do you define beauty, Brian?
I get my new co-host. So these are themes, let me just put it that.
Yes.
And you can use them when you're building great Windows presentation foundation?
Yeah, they have the, you know, some of the skins that I personally like for the expression blend, where you can actually change between the light and dark.
Like
I guess
dark,
they call it
evil,
alloy, which is that...
Horde, I think, is what they call it.
Horde?
Yeah, like World of Warcraft, right?
No.
It's a joke.
It's a horrible joke.
God, you hate me.
I can't wait till you...
Happy New Year.
Please move on. The worst show ever. 50 most useful jQuery plugins from 2011. So, one, we always love lists and to find stuff. So, a number of them.
50, maybe.
We've perhaps covered before, but there's things like validation controls. Mm-hmm. Like, you need a credit card validator. You want to be... rather than having to write your own credit card validator, it does it for you.
Hmm.
Similar other validation tools, or when you're doing password strength, you have a very cool password strength component that you can just reuse as a jQuery plugin.
Yep.
Another one is they have the swipe CAPTCHA.
Oh.
So you swipe your mouse, and you have to make sure to see how well that you can actually do that, which I think is a kind of cool example for a CAPTCHA, and certainly things that we did the login with a gesture on Windows 8 demos. And then the other things are the classic things that you expect for jQuery. So like carousel controls, You know, Channel 9 has this where you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and those sort of are gallery controls. You can see a number of images and those sort of jQuery plugins. These are kind of the best of the best.
Have you ever seen Hot Captcha?
No.
That's my favorite Captcha.
Oh, yes, yeah. Where you have to pick the hot one.
Yeah, like five people and you have to pick the hot one.
Yes,
that's cool.
I love
really
that.
Good. NetBash, an alternative to endless admin pages in ASP.NET web applications. So what is this? It just plugs right into your ASP.NET solution and provides you with a different view on that?
Yeah, so it has it's a NuGet package, so it's pretty easy to just drop into your application. But what you allows it to do is you basically sign up for something, implement an iWeb command interface, mm-hmm. and it does kind of like a console green screen, so you can then call into, and it'll send whatever commands you type into to that command. So I define, you know, I'm trying to think of an interesting example, like see current users logged in.
Yeah.
Right.
Turn debugging on and off.
Yeah. Yeah. Get last cache of blah.
So it gives you like a command line, but a web based command line, right?
Yeah, web based command line. So
that's
the idea
really
is
cool.
Rather than having to go through a bunch of things, you can actually build out. You can find out what you want to support, how you want to support it, and it's kind of the easy mode to get at stuff.
Huh.
The idea is you can do, you know, just simple.
That's awesome.
Commands.
It's like a BBS terminal or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there certainly is work, and it really follows the console model, if you will.
Right.
Of, you know, we're going to have this thing that you call, and you just pass in params, and then you need to do the work.
I think we should relaunch BBSs. I miss those. Legend of the Red Dragon.
I actually loved a classic one we had done with Andrew Trollson, I think it was. It was an Outlook Pine client.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that actually worked, and it was all .NET.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
So, which brings us to our next story in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the previous stories, but it's a free ebook, so Windows Phone Toolkit In-Depth 2nd Edition, and this appears to be updated for Mango. And so, yeah, just again, if you're, like, you know, kicking around the holidays and you're looking for your next big project, want to build an app for Windows Phone, looks like a good resource, and we love these free books.
By Borjana Miloševska.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I got that right. So we love ourselves some free ebooks, so gotta give love.
Yep. SkyDrive. So this is huge, you know. So for a while at Build, actually, the SkyDrive team came out and said, hey, you know, you guys have asked for it. We're finally delivering it. Now you have an API that you can start taking advantage of as developers for SkyDrive. And now they've just made available SkyDrive for your phone. And this works on Android, Windows Phone, and iPhone. So now you get 25 gigs of storage in the cloud for free that you can start taking advantage of straight from your device, which
is awesome.
Kind of amazing.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely loving. Kudos to the team. I feel like there's been so many updates just lately in terms of SkyDrive that it's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Which brings us to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week. So my pick of the week, it's the new Team Foundation Server Power Tools. This is the December 2011 release. And what's new in this one is that they've actually made available Team Foundation Server Power Tools for Eclipse developers. So if you're an Eclipse developer, you're probably already aware that Team Explorer Everywhere lets you connect up to Team Foundation Server.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that against TFS on-premises or TFS in the cloud. But this is the first time that the Power Tools have been available for those Eclipse developers as well. So there's a couple nice ones in here, like the ability for you to... I'm drawing a blank. There's like some search capabilities in there that you can use. There's abilities for you to... I'm going to have to go back and look at the story now. 64-bit MISCI provider, too. So if you're working with an IDE that needs to connect to TFS and it's 64-bit, that's really nice, and that's provided now as well.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Which brings us to my pick of the week, which is... Now, XMPP is an open standards-based protocol that you can now use and can now plug in and build their own messenger clients. I've wanted this since, like, 2003.
And we're talking real messenger. We're not talking, like, your messenger-like client that's on its own fragmented network.
No, or where you get, you know, a box, and you can choose where the box goes, and there's no real integration.
Yeah.
This is full integration on whatever platform you want. So, you know, you're building it either... Windows 8, on iPhone, whatever platform you're building on.
Commodore 64, Pete Brown?
Commodore 64, Pete Brown.
Mm-hmm.
In Silverlight 5.
Nice, I hope so.
Using Azure.
Yeah.
Every single story has now woven together.
Yeah.
64-bit TFS.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I love it. So I think this is actually a pretty major story, and something that I think maybe we should cover for Coding for Fun, how to actually build a basic XMPP client. Yeah. I think people would dig that.
Yeah, definitely. Metro style.
Yeah, let us know. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
Cool.
So that is our show. Thank you, Brian, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.